Hi, Steve.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing good. What about yourself?
I'm okay. I was just thinking of trying to add the agenda to our Indico page. And I'm hoping I can cut and paste from the live doc, the live notes.
Well, cut and paste, but you have to do one contribution at a time, though, unless you want to make the roundtable all part of the same contribution.
No, I'm trying to add it to the description part.
Ah, okay. In that case, you probably can.
We shall see. Although I see the settings is very Now, this part seems to be quite organized. Room, venue, address. Reports. I kind of wanted to just put it right at the top. Description. You think it could, agenda could be part of the description?
Yes, because I see, yeah. Now I'm looking now at the agenda.
I'm going to try and add it right down here. And kind of
so what you want to, what you want to do is all of the announcements and make it part of the description.
I don't understand what you're saying. Switch to
well, because if I look at the agenda in the that I see in the email you sent.
Yes.
So it says announcements, then the liaison, the compact two, the templates, the calendar, brief report from the experiments workshop.
Take a look at the page now. I think it looks okay.
Okay. Yes.
Mm-hmm. It worked out better than I had any reason to believe.
Yes, and it's actually the right format, right? Which is kind of amazing.
That's what I meant. And I see we have a bunch of people here.
That's right. So we have 9 people and counting.
Great. Sorry if you had to listen to our Indico chatter. Thanks for joining on time, if not early. I'm this week's designated note taker, and I don't type as well as some of my colleagues. And I guess I'm not going to be able to look at the Zoom page or Zoom app while I'm typing into the live notes.
So let's wait for a couple of more minutes before we start the meeting. Now, 3 topical group conveners per group we should have, plus the contact people, we should have about 30 people attending, right?
We should. We won't. All right, let's have a quiz or a contest. Who's cooking the biggest Thanksgiving turkey?
So Benny's saying that he's a vegetarian.
How much will it weigh, Ben?
Being born and raised in Argentina, it would be very difficult for me to become a vegetarian.
Yeah, I once went to a Argentinian steakhouse for a friend's birthday, and there was absolutely nothing for me on the menu. Not even like the side dishes.
Well, you know, that's, and there are many vegetarian people in Argentina, that was just a joke. And there will be plenty of food for you to eat. But if you go to a steakhouse, obviously, there's probably nothing. Well, you can eat the salad, right? There's probably a salad bar, which is pretty good.
Yeah,
Anyway,
there was a
it's,
salad, but yeah.
yes?
No, anyways, I'm happy to get started with the meeting.
Okay, so we have 12 people. It's not really what I would call good attendance, but yet it's almost 11:05 in the Midwest, so we should start. And so this is my first meeting chairing as a co-convener, and I will share with you some announcements, and then we will go through the usual roundtable. The first announcement is that we are very pleased to have Peter as part of the liaison team. Peter Onisi has agreed to serve as the liaison between the computing frontier and the energy frontier. We, you know, put together a list of people we thought that could actually do the job. And we went through the steering group who has approved Peter as the liaison between the energy frontier and the computing frontier. And of course, we worked in collaboration with the energy frontier conveners in making this selection. So thank you, Peter, and welcome to the team. And if you want to say a few words, the floor is yours. I would only say that anytime you need to have a conversation with the with us, the COMPEF conveners, you are of course welcome. Any topic you need to discuss related to the relationship between the energy frontier and the computing frontier.
I don't have a speech to make, so I'll just say that I'm happy to try and serve in this bridge role, and people, please feel free to tell me what you think should be communicated.
Okay, and that goes to everyone, every topical group convener. So the second announcement is that, as you know, since I moved to the position of co-convener of the Computing Frontier, there is a vacancy in COMPEF2. This is theoretical calculations and simulation. And following the procedure, once again, we have put together a list of people that we think have the skills and the interest to do this. And we went through the steering group, and that ranked list was approved. And so now we are sending the invitation, and we will go down the list in case that the first and or the second one is not interested or is very busy and cannot take this responsibility. So hopefully in a few days or maybe a couple of weeks, we have a new COMPEF2 convener that joins G and Peter Boyle. Another issue we wanted to remind you about is related to the white papers and the fact that if you go to the SNOMAS webpage, you will find the link to white paper information that has to do with the submission procedure. And so you have to remind people that they have to submit the white paper to the archive, and then they have to fill out a form that goes to the main editor. And then in the web page, you also have a template that you can invite people to use. They do not have to use it, but I find it very useful. that the this NOMAS organization provides a template that people can use to write their white papers. In what relates to the reports, you know, there will be a report per topical group, and then we will put together a Computing Frontier report. And for the Frontier reports, the steering group is putting together a template. So we will have to follow a specified format. And we thought that it would also be very useful if the topical group reports are also following that format, because it will make it easier to integrate all of the reports into our main Computing Frontier report. And there will be more information about this shortly. The next topic has to do with the fact that some participants within the Computing Frontier have made the suggestion to add a calendar to the Computing Frontier Twiki page, so that we know about all of the events that are relevant to the Computing Frontier. Our biweekly meetings could be there. Also, for example, the Small Experiments Workshop is certainly a workshop that that could have been announced through the calendar. Any workshop or event that you, topical group conveners, plan to organize. And the nice thing is that then there will be a link to Indico agendas, to material, et cetera. And we will also be able to identify clashes with other events. So we thought it was a good idea. So I created the calendar and I made it public in the sense that anybody can see the calendar. Not anybody can write on it. I'm planning to give all of you guys the privilege to write in the calendar. At the moment, only the three conveners, the three of us, Steve, Ben, and I, can write in the calendar. And I have actually added the calendar to the Computational Frontier webpage. The problem I'm facing is that it's twofold. First of all, in spite of the fact that I made it public, if you follow the link, you still have to provide your Google username and password, and I would like that not to be the case. The second problem I'm facing is that the calendar is not visible. For some reason, the Twiki doesn't embed it. And I tried to follow what the Energy Frontier guys did, but I, you know, so far I have failed. So I have requested help. So far, I haven't resolved this issue. So if anybody has experience, I would actually appreciate if you could contact me, you know, after the meeting, and you can help me to sort out this issue. Otherwise, I have also requested help from the Energy Frontier conveners. Hopefully, we will sort this out shortly, and the calendar will be available. So the next two topics are a brief report on the small experiment workshop, and Ben will be in charge of that because he was one of the organizers. And then we will go to the roundtable discussion. But before going to Ben, I'm asking whether you have any questions, suggestions, concern about it that you've heard of, or if you want to bring any other topic to the table. Apparently not. So then, Ben, the floor is yours.
Great, thanks. we had this workshop earlier this week on Monday and Tuesday for small computing, software and computing for small HEP experiments. And some of the people here participated, which was great. So we had a pretty good attendance. It was like 30, 40 people the whole time. And it was like 3 hours each day. First day was experiments. So we had representative set of experiments give talks about their software computing, current status and challenges. And then we had a second day on sort of cross-cutting tools. And we had a very lively discussion, and there was a live set of notes that were recorded that were used as sort of to ask questions and follow up on various topics. And so the upshot is that if I had to summarize the workshop in one sentence, I would say, you know, that this, just because the experiments are small doesn't mean their computing needs are small. And so we identified some unique aspects of the software and computing landscape for small experiments going forward. And so we are going to put together a white paper specifically about software computing for small experiments. And the idea is basically to summarize the content of the workshop, which includes sort of a vignettes on the software computing landscape of these experiments, as well as discussing some of the cross-cutting challenges. And so I've put on the notes, we started a Slack channel. It's a public channel, so you can, anyone here can join. And on the Slack channel, I've pinned the live notes from the workshop, as well as the overleaf for the white paper that's evolving. And anyone is welcome to join that effort.
Thank you, Ben. Any comments on this workshop? Did you guys attend? What were your impressions?
I see Peter has his hand up.
So it wasn't a question about the workshop, it was about the white paper coming out of this. So the idea is that basically all of the working groups would use this as input.
That's right. Yeah, it's not specific to any particular topical group. It should hopefully be, you know, broadly useful. I think you won't be surprised by some of the conclusions and common challenges. I mean, I think the main upshot is that a lot of the challenges the big experiments face, the small experiments also face, it's just more acute. And I think that's a particular point that would be stressed by this report.
Okay, any more hands? If not, then we can go to the roundtable, unless, of course, somebody wants to bring
were we another topic discuss, for discussion. Were we going to discuss the new wording or?
Did I miss it? Yes, there is a new wording that is suggested to replace the old wording about the deadline for the white papers. So maybe we should take a read or read it. If you want, I can read it. So the current wording says, to allow topical group conveners sufficient time to consider white papers, we ask all who wish to contribute to submit their white papers by the end of January 2022. Papers submitted later are not guaranteed full consideration. Those who cannot meet the January deadline are encouraged to coordinate with the appropriate topical group conveners and submit the draft by the January 2022 deadline. This is the current wording, and the proposed wording is to allow topical group conveners sufficient time to consider white papers. We ask all who wish to contribute to submit via email to topical group conveners at least the title and abstract by the end of January 2022. Contributions submitted later are not guaranteed full consideration. What do you guys think?
Katrina's happy. Fiala.
Right. Something we can do is maybe people can give us the thumbs up.
Yeah, you got quite a few thumbs up already. So yeah, it seems like there's, you know, general support.
Any chance to actually post it in the chat?
Yes. I will try to take care of that.
Thanks. Sorry, I tend to be a better visual reader than.
I see Ben is
already. I just posted. Yeah. Sorry to beat you to the punch, Steve.
It's okay. G has his hand up.
Yes. I have a question about this current wording. I'm reading this. I don't see any like a specific like a deadline for this. It's just to say they're not just for abstract, but not no deadline for the paper. Or is that what we want?
Well, I would say that this is the addition to the you know the deadline is March, right? And this is available in the main SNOMAS webpage. The conflict occurred when we specified that we wanted in the computing frontier the white papers in January, and that's the reason why people complained, because that was a much earlier deadline. And it was inconsistent with the SNOMAS deadline. Now, what we are doing is that we, the Computing Frontier, are asking people to give us this information in January. Otherwise, you follow the the SNOMAS deadlines. Do you think we should be more specific even in our paragraph?
I think it would be good to add that also in this. So just to read this new wording, I don't see any information about deadline if I don't go into the other, like what you said, the normal March deadline.
How about the regular SNOMAS deadline also applies?
Right, something like that.
Right, because if the deadlines change in the main page, we don't want to have to remember to change, you know, the deadlines in hours, because that could produce confusion if there is, again, conflicted information. So I would agree with Steve's suggestion.
Yes, I agree with that too. I think if you add some, at least just read this paragraph, I don't say deadline, or I don't know where people work really more careful and go to this regular. But if you add that sentence here,
I have paragraph, added to the live notes, the general SNOMAS deadline also applies. So,
okay, cool. Yeah.
We have another hand, Fiala.
Yeah, so just the last statement, contributions submitted later are not guaranteed full consideration. It's not clear whether that refers to contributions of titles or contributions of the full white papers after our, you know, soft January deadline are welcome but not guaranteed full consideration, or if it's contributions of just the title. So maybe that could be clarified.
Mm-hmm.
How about contributions whose abstract and titles submitted later are not guaranteed full consideration?
It sounds okay to me. I mean, I guess my personal preference would still have been that white papers that are later aren't guaranteed full consideration, although of course if we know where they're coming, we'll do our best to make that happen. But I was in the camp that liked the earlier deadline, so I might have been outvoted on that.
So would you like white papers whose title and abstract are submitted later are not guaranteed full consideration?
I agree. I think this sounds better.
Okay.
Okay, anything else we've forgotten to discuss? Well, that somebody wants to bring up. Otherwise, we will move quickly to the round table. Let's go to compact one.
Yes, I can give a quick report. So we sent out a message asking for feedback for our skeleton. We wrote the skeleton of a report. We did this, I think we had a deadline of November 10th. We haven't heard anything back, so we will probably start emailing the individual LOI authors to ensure that they, you know, at least know and are paying attention to the skeleton, and then we'll probably start asking for people who can help edit the report.
I'm sorry, are you talking about the topical group report?
Yes, the COMPF1.
The COMPF1 topical group report. Okay, so this is something that, Steve and Ben, this is something that that we are getting from Mike Peskin, right? Because we said we would be using the same format for the frontier reports, right?
I believe that is correct. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, I think for now, oh, go ahead, sorry.
Well, there is a template that Michael told us about in one of the convener meetings. So,
but I think for now though, I wouldn't worry about the form. I mean, this is like boilerplate stuff that he's gonna, well, we might have to harmonize later, but I think I wouldn't worry about it at this stage.
Right.
We're mainly worried about any kind of actual content at this point, at the format, you know. We don't have enough content to worry about format yet.
But you mentioned format, right? You meant the outline then.
Right, but
of topics to be discussed. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right, I mean, we have to have...
Okay.
What we did is the following. We took the letters of interest or intent. We organized them in a way that they made topically sense to us, how we would organize a report if we would get white papers from each letter, right? And so it's basically a topical skeleton, like how we would write the content of the report, how we would organize it. And around that, we now have to ask people if they are going to write the white papers to back up this content of the report. And then as Walter and Ben and everybody else said, the format itself, you can right. Adjust later. That is not
really I misunderstood. I thought that Walter had mentioned format, but it's really the outline, the content.
Skeleton, you said, yes.
Right. So I'm not worried about the form. No. Is there any event you are planning? Any meeting or series of meetings or any, you know, white paper writing related event or anything that you are planning for the group, or you are just contacting individuals who wrote letters of intent, asking them whether they are going to be sending the white papers, and you will wait for the papers to be submitted. And so I'm just wondering whether you are planning any kind of activity associated to your group. I'm not asking you to do it. I'm just, you know, wondering what the plans are.
Just one additional comment. So we did not just send the skeleton to the letter of intent writers. We sent it to everybody who had expressed interest in this topical group. So even if you didn't write a letter of intent, you would have gotten the skeleton report and asked for feedback. We have not actually planned anything yet. We were discussing that a little bit, but I think we first want to see what we get back when we ask again who's going to write white papers, if we really need yet another Zoom meeting in order to make that happen. I don't know.
Okay. Steve, Ben, do you have any more questions for our COMPF1 colleagues?
Not I.
Okay, nope. So let's go to...
update.
Yes?
No, thanks for the update. Yeah.
Okay, let's go to COMPF2.
For the COMPF2, we don't have any meetings, among the entire, the subtopic, as you know, that we are waiting for the the new co-convener to join us. But for the separate areas like in the accelerator modeling area, and we have like a regular bi-weekly meeting to we had all these discussions about the white paper, and we have even an outline of the white paper. I think in our accelerator modern community, so far there will be probably just one white paper, and we put seems from the community they would like just to put everything into this white paper, and so so that's about the accelerator modeling area. And another area is the cosmic calculation. I had a meeting with Sorman Habib, and we had some discussions about the white paper. I assume that probably he is working with his colleagues about the to prepare for this prepare this white paper. So that's okay. all from.
Okay, so you think there will be at least one vision white paper per a subdomain, as we thought there would be.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but we do let the people know that there is no limit in principle. If they would like to contribute, they can.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah. Let me add that Peter Boyle participated in a meeting this morning of lattice gauge theorists to talk about lattice field theory and the whole gamut of snow mass.
Okay. Anything else, G?
I think that's all from hand.
Okay. Thank you very much. We can now move to machine learning.
Yeah, sure. So we have been essentially trying to create collaborations between the different authors of the LOIs. And so that has resulted in a few different white paper groups happening. And of course, there are also white papers happening without our direct involvement. So over the last few weeks, we've all been to a few meetings of some of these sub white paper subgroups that are forming and then are going to continue on their own. So we're just checking in on those and making sure they're progressing.
Okay, I think that's a great idea to encourage LOI writers to get together and consolidate their ideas in a smaller number of white papers. I think that's great. Sounds good. Any questions for Fiala? Okay, thank you very much. We can now go to CompF 4, storage and processing resource access.
Hello. Yeah, this is Wahid. I could update. But yeah, I think as mentioned last time, we were reaching out to some people to help lead kind of subtopics within the topical group. And so we'd identified a few likely candidates. So we've contacted them and some have agreed, some have not. So we're looking for replacements. And then we're hoping to bring together this group of sub-leads to kind of get them to push on white papers and also potentially shape another workshop or whatever process we want to get more input on these subtopics.
Okay, that's good. Any question for Wahid? Thank you, Wahid. End users analysis from CompF 5.
I think it's fair to say we don't have much new to report since the last time we had one of these meetings. Of course, Amy had involvement and interest in the small experiment workshop, so we're trying to integrate from her what we can learn from our side from that. But otherwise, I don't think there's much organizational to say.
I have a question. What kind of white papers would you expect? I mean, my knowledge of end use analysis is you know, there is work in the context of the HEP Software Foundation. There is work in the context of major experiments that are planning to, you know, to use, of course, Root, but move to the Python ecosystem. And there is collaboration across experimental boundaries already. So do you know how these people are self-organized for white papers? And how the small experiments would fit in?
So sorry, it may just really, my Wi-Fi in the office is not great, and I really couldn't hear most of that.
What about the others? Is it me? Is it my connection? Or
I could hear you, Daniel.
Okay. I think it's my office, honestly.
Okay, so let me try to repeat. I was saying that what I know about, you know, analysis tools or analysis ecosystems is that the community is organized in teams that go across experimental boundaries. There are experiments that are collaborating with each other in the context of funding opportunities. There is also HSF, right? There is an HSF group that is worrying about the, you know, the end user analysis tools. And people are thinking about, you know, the evolution of Root and also incorporating all of the tools provided by the Python ecosystem. So I'm wondering whether you know how this community is self-organizing to produce white papers in this context.
Well, this is exactly one of the problems, right? Is that we can get, it's not so difficult to get people to contribute in the context of the specific projects that they're working on. It's much harder to sort of get global, to get people involved with global views. Do you see what I mean?
Yes.
So I mean, this is an issue, and this is a thing we're trying to figure out how to make work well. But we're, at some level, I suspect we're going to have to do it at a sort of a top-down approach, because, you know, I mean, people very much like the specific thing they're working on, and then, you know, the question is, well, how are you going to support it beyond the end date of that particular grant? And it's a little bit of you know, hands go up in the air, and like, how does that integrate with other ecosystems? For, you know, hands go up in the air. So it is a very tricky thing. It's probably the main limitation in our ability to make things coherent.
It is a general problem, right? Not only present in the end user analysis area. The danger, I think, is that if we have a collection of individual white papers about what each individual is doing, then of course the report cannot be just a summary of summaries, right? Or cannot be a summary of white papers, and the frontier report cannot be a summary of summaries. As you say, we would have to do the work.
Yeah, no, and I think this has been clear to us since we started. I absolutely agree. This is basically the really challenging part for us.
Okay, any question for Peter? Thank you very much, Peter. Let's go to the quantum guys.
Who's here?
That's what I was
checking. I don't think anyone is.
Gabe, Travis, Martin.
Yeah, it looks like no one is here, so perhaps we should send them a Slack message later.
They are trapped in the quantum world. Okay, so let's move to COMPF 7, reinterpretation and long-term preservation of data and code.
I don't think anyone's present from that group either.
Nobody's present from that group either. Okay. So we will have to communicate via Slack with these two teams. And before we close the meeting, I would like to know whether you are particularly worried about something that could be in the way of our plans, of the current timeline, deadlines, or, you know, most importantly, on having the a complete you know, content for what we
Daniel, before know. before we dive into that, do we want to ask if any of the liaisons have anything to report?
Oh, well, that's correct. Sorry, it's the first time that I chair the meeting.
Sure. I also realized that I mean we announced Peter in the beginning, but I think this also might be Mike's first Tafo Group convener meeting. I'm not sure, but Mike's our relatively new liaison from the Rare Processes Frontier.
Okay.
Yeah, that's correct, Ben. This is my first CompF meeting.
Great, welcome. We're very happy to have you.
Okay, so let's go first with to the reports from the liaisons.
So Peter, I think, would be the first for Energy Frontier.
Well, I think I said yes, was it yesterday? So I'm setting up a meeting with Energy Frontier people next couple of weeks to talk about things.
Yeah, they asked to meet with you. So that's something to report on. Alex Himmel would be next.
Sorry about the background noise. So we've been talking about setting up a follow-up discussion from the Snowmass restart workshop. I think you guys proposed to maybe use one of these Friday convening slots. I think we just got a follow-up on email and set a date.
Yes, that's on me to respond to that email thread. I haven't done so yet, but I think we'll basically propose one of the upcoming meetings. Yeah,
I think that's fine. You know, no super rush for me other than trying to get it done before the report's good.
Okay, so Rare Processes and Precision, Michael?
Yeah, so I guess whenever we had the Snowmass Day, I wrote up something that we submitted to you guys from Rare. And nothing has happened since then, other than, you know, soliciting feedback and adding it onto that before it was sent. I'm not sure if there's anything in particular you want me to be trying to do with Rare Frontier at the moment. So maybe it's a reverse report. You report to me what the, is there something you want me to be doing? Because this is my first meeting with this group.
Okay, if you want to have a conversation, that we are, of course, available, we just have to set it up. So please let us know.
Well, our focus for you is what are their computing needs and concerns?
Yeah, I mean, so we already collected that and I wrote up a document and submitted it to you, whatever that was, a month or two ago, whenever we had Snowmass Day. So nothing's happened since then. That's sort of what I'm saying. So then I don't know if there's any additional information that I need to try to collect. I mean, that it seemed to be pretty thorough.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe I can just add. So yeah, I think in addition to the information itself, I think, you know, mostly the role is we should be kept abreast of the, you know, activities that are ongoing. So if there's any relevant, discussions that could involve computing, let us know, or vice versa. We'll, of course, to pass back information about, you know, for instance, like the updated deadline that we just discussed earlier. That's something that would be great to advertise to, you know, people who are involved in computing from your frontier.
Yeah. I mean, I wrote that down already to let people know there's this January
fantastic
deadline. But we don't like have nearly as many meetings in our frontier, I think, as well. Like, I'm sure the Energy Frontier, they're always meeting, right? But so we don't have as many meetings for me to pass information back from. But you know, if something comes up, we'll let you know.
In general, and that doesn't apply only to this particular frontier, I believe that what we need from the frontiers is any requirements from their physics programs that can translate into specific software computing needs. Sometimes people can figure this out. Some other times we need to translate some of the characteristics of or numbers of those physics programs into sovereign computing needs, and from there come up with, you know, needs related to software tools or R&D or whatever. So that's, I guess, an exercise that, you know, all of the liaisons should be paying attention to. Okay.
I don't think our Cosmic Frontier liaisons are here. And the next,
and you are the theory liaison.
That's me. And let me mention again that there was a meeting for the Theory Frontier workshop at KITP in mid to late February, which I attended. And I have previously asked if anyone wants to suggest speakers. There will probably be at least one talk on the order of 45 minutes on the frontier between theory and computing. And the most of the topical groups will have two 30-minute talks is the current planning. Also in terms of theory, there was a meeting this morning to talk about lattice gauge theory throughout SnowMass and making sure there's enough input and output. That's it.
Okay, and there is a message. Thank you, Steve. And there is a message here in the chat that we have the representative from the Cosmic Frontier, Brian, is attending the meeting. So, Brian.
Contacted our liaisons here have been contacted by a few people in the Cosmic Frontier, specifically a group led by Hugh Lippincott, Tracy Slatier, Jody Cooley, Tian, and they are they are reaching out to the Computing Frontier. That they are developing a white paper which is concerned with computing issues that affect dark matter searches, and including how to, you know, how to best run on supercomputing versus conventional environment supporting for computing tools, and also ML maximum likelihood techniques. And so anyway, I pointed them back at the leaders of the various computing frontier groups. I don't know if they've contacted any of you yet, but there is they are reaching out to us in the computing side and are looking for guidance. And then I would say on the computing side, we are also looking for, you know, practical, you know, applications in some sense from the other frontiers, including Cosmic. And so I don't know if, you know, if I'm best enabling that communication yet, but those efforts are going on at some level in the background.
Okay, thank you. We can go to Jean-Luc Liaison with the accelerator.
Is Axel wrote on? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, great.
Yeah, I can take this on. Jean-Luc's on vacation today. So for the accelerator modeling, what we are currently, we will give an update and synchronize with AF1 on Monday on our progress, and we will report on the status of the white papers, and we will try to include again more feedback. So for example, one of the things that we are trying to formulate right now for the white paper is individual lighthouse projects and computing needs, and to be sure that they are in sync with the AF1 needs. And maybe we get another example that we can basically take as a calculation example as well and include in the white paper. On Monday, that meeting will happen.
Okay, sounds good. Next, we have Darin, who is attending along with the Instrumentation Frontier.
Hi, yes. So most of the overlap with computing is through the AI machine learning area subgroup. I attended an earlier white paper organization there, and I think the communities that are common between the two frontiers are well aware of what they're doing. So, for example, fast machine learning already has a white paper. So we're just trying to keep track of who's doing what, because it should just be one set of papers, and each of the different frontiers can take a look at those. As far as our process on the Trigger DAX side of instrumentation, we held a quick kickoff meeting on the white papers, trying to get that organized. I will say for instrumentation, they plan a workshop coincident with the CPAD workshop in mid-February. And that, the goal there is to try to get people literally to finish writing white papers if they haven't done so already. But other than that, I'm you know, other than the AI overlap, I'm not aware of too much other computing relevant items to mention.
Okay, so we, you know, you guys can work together with the our AI group. And okay, thank you, Dari. Underground facilities. We have Eric Dahl attending.
I think we've gone through all of the liaisons who are here.
Okay.
Very good.
So, you know, I still have that question that I'm wondering whether you guys have identified any problem or issue that could be in the way of the process of writing white papers and being on time, I mean, according to the deadline, and whether you think that there are still some areas that need to be covered because you don't have people active in important areas or sub areas related to your topical group. And in that case, what you think we can do in order to help the process? Okay, so that's good to know that we are all well on track.
I would like to make one comment, which is a little bit more high level than what you just asked for. So very recently, the Decadal survey came out, a 650-page document focused on astrophysics and astronomy. And they do have computing in there as well. I thought if you look at it, it's an interesting activity for us to look how computing is represented in that report, because it is a similar thing that will come out of SNOMAS, right? It's just a slightly different area. And computing is mentioned several times, but in very soft ways. It says, for example, high performance computing centers are important and different experiments should share resources. What I'm worried about is, and what I think as a group as a whole we should think about, is how we will write our reports in such a way that they're actually really impactful. That it's not that we are just mentioned here and there in the final P5 report, but that we really write our reports in such a way that we have impactful messages that they can then take out and put in the final report somehow, rather than having computing always like as kind of an almost afterthought, even though everybody needs it. So I think I personally will definitely go through the Decadal in a little bit more detail several times from now on. But it's a good example where you see a very recent document where it's clear computing is important, but the way how it's portrayed is not very, very, very visible. It's not something, and I think we might run in the SNOMAS process into something similar if we are not careful and making our case very, very clearly and in a way that they can pull it out. I hope it's clear what I'm saying.
Yeah, definitely.
I think so.
I will.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will add, so I posted the survey, actually it's in our Slack channel for all the topical group conveners. So I also encourage people to look at it. It's a doozy, it's very, very long. But I totally agree with Katrin. And in fact, I was hoping maybe we could even ask someone who was more involved in the process, maybe you were, to maybe say a bit about the process about how computing was featured in the report. Because I also got the same impression. I mean, I'm an outsider for sure, and I got the same impression that you just shared, basically. I mean, there are a couple of places where it's like machine learning and like HPCs, and like they're very mentioned. It's mentioned very specifically, but there's not like it's not prominent, let's say. In contrast, to, like the European Strategy Report for Particle Physics, where I would say computing was very much highlighted. And I totally agree with what you said, that we can learn, I think, from this exercise. And I would be very interested to know about the politics and how it came out this way, if that was on purpose or it was just kind of organic.
Yes, I also agree. I believe that your reports, topical group reports, and then our frontier report have to have a set of very clear messages. We want to think hard what is that we have to pass to the rest of the highness physics community and do that very clearly. That will need a lot of, we will have to invest a lot of thought, I would say. As I was saying before, I don't think the reports should be a summary of white papers, but should be very, very well digested so that the reports contain very clear messages.
That reminds me, we really should start thinking about what our recommendations might be and start, summarizing that so we know where we're headed and where we need more information. So I hope we can do that in our next meeting. We start to do that.
Anything else anybody wants to bring up to the table? Any other concerns or suggestions? Anything we can do to help? If not, I guess we can close the meeting 4 minutes before noon Central Time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
See you in a couple
Take
of
care.
Weeks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Hi, Alex.